This program is brought to you by Fresh FM.
This is Top Writers on Fresh FM. I'm Dana Wensley, and this show is brought to you by Top of the South Writers. For the next 20 minutes, I'll be talking to local writer Pani Pileski about her work. But first, I want to take a few moments to remember that in some countries, writing is a privilege. More than that, writing is a passion that can land you in prison, or worst yet, killed. While that sounds melodramatic, let's look at the statistics. The roll call of deaths last year makes a chilling read. According to Reporters Without Borders, 720 journalists have been killed since 2005. Last year alone, there were 66 killed, 178 imprisoned, and 119 kidnapped. Fiction is a powerful vehicle to shape values and beliefs. Uncle Tom's Cabin helped change attitudes towards slavery, in the same way that To Kill a Mockingbird altered views towards race relations. Fiction, rather than being a frivolous pastime to entertain, is also a powerful vehicle for teaching and exploring new ideas. Just last month, Booker Prize winner Salman Rushdie had a bounty put on his head. Rushdie is a well-known novelist for his works Midnight Children, The Moor's Last Sigh. For the last 27 years, Salman Rushdie has lived with a fatwa issued against him by Ayatollah Khomeini. Rushdie was accused of blasphemy for his work Satanic Verses, and the fatwa ordered that Rushdie be killed. Now, 27 years later, the fatwa has been awakened with a bounty, $600,000 US being raised by Iranian media outlets. This is in addition to the already $2.8 million offered. International Human Rights Organization, PEN, which promotes literature and freedom of speech around the world, has called for Western governments expanding their relations with Tehran to insist that the Iranian government nullify its threat and bounty and disavow the fatwa once and for all. This is just one story of one writer. If you want to find out more about what PEN does and how you can be involved, contact me, Dana Wensley. Follow the links on the New Zealand Society of Authors website at authors.org.nz.
This show is sponsored by the Top of the South Writers, a branch of the New Zealand Society of Authors. Top of the South Writers is devoted to the interests of writers in the region. It offers talks, workshops, a weekly newsletter, advice about publishing and copyright issues, and much more. You can find out more about Top of the South Writers at topwriters.co.nz.
This is Dana Wensley for Top Writers. I'm talking to local writer and poet Pani Pileski about her book, Budapest Girl. First of all, thank you for coming in this morning. Budapest Girl is a remarkable read. I really enjoyed reading it. It's the sort of book you can read over and over again and peel back the layers to get something new each time. I have struggled with how to define it. It's not a traditional memoir, but then yours is not a traditional life. Born in Hungary, a child during Nazi occupation, a refugee in the United States in the 1950s, you sailed to New Zealand in the 1970s. Budapest Girl is a mix of journalism, poetry, photos, prose. Tell me about Budapest Girl in your own words. What drove you to write it?
I was 80 when I decided to finish my memoir. I've been struggling to write about my memories before and didn't have the courage to put it together. But I felt now, in this new century, that the world hasn't learned from the last century, that they continue making the same mistakes, that led to the Second World War, and they still think that killing each other is a solution to the problems that we face.
Tell me about the term Mischling.
I have started the book describing why I feel so strongly about things. And that had to start with my childhood, like everything else in everybody's life starts with the childhood, what the emotions that we have reacting to the world around us as children stays with us and in some ways defines our emotions later in life. So I realized around age 8 that I was a Mischling, and I didn't know what that meant, but Hitler did. He was in power in Germany, and they made a plan to get rid of Jews all over Europe and all over the world. I found just a couple of years ago, they uncovered a fantastic file about their plans, and they defined Mischling, which is a German word, and it means a half-breed, a misfit, a mongrel, somebody that is not desirable, because my father was Jewish and my mother was Roman Catholic. I was a Mischling. And a Mischling could not reproduce. I was supposed to be sterilized, and many Mischling were gassed. And that explained to me why I was always afraid as a child.
Hitler's shadow runs throughout the book. In your list of who was who, at the beginning, you describe him as someone who caused much suffering, and I hatched a lot of secret plans to get rid of him. Do you remember any of them?
Do I what?
Do you remember any of the plans to get rid of him?
Oh, I was thinking that I get on a train and go to Berlin and shoot him, or go to Berchtesgaden where he had his stronghold and blow up a castle. I had all sorts of very exciting terrorist plans.
You write a lot about your father in Budapest Girl, and he was a writer himself, wasn't he? And he wrote a book about his time in the labor camp, and he interviewed some of the most famous people at that time. Tell us about him and how he might have influenced you.
Well, my father taught me to read. While he was shaving in the bathroom, I had to fetch the daily paper and read the news to him from age 4. At age 3, I already could read the name of the paper, and he taught me how to read. The name of the paper was Pesti Hirlap, so that's a P, P, P. And I learned the letters, and I learned how to put them together, and he taught me to read. He always loved me very, very much, and And I thought that he was a perfect father.
And he also told you lots of stories, didn't he, that comes out in the book?
Yes, he told me stories about his escapes. He escaped a couple of executions and escaped from the Gestapo prison, which was in the Hotel Mirabel in Buda, the Buda side of Budapest.
Each show, I ask authors to choose a piece of music to play. You've chosen two poems set to music. Tell me about the first one that we're playing today.
It is something that I wrote, influenced by Basho, the famous, very famous, great Japanese haiku poet who lived a roaming life all over Japan, and that was some 700 years ago or 600 years ago, I can't remember. And he wrote a haiku, "Who is to tell the tale?" And it was just three short lines, and it was so beautiful that I wanted to respond to it. So it is my answer in the 21st century to Basho, a poet who lived hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and it is saying that everybody is entitled to tell a tale, and you have to tell tales. And I hope that it sends a message to everybody who reads it, that they have to tell their own tale, because every tale is different. Who is to tell the tale? After Basho. Who is to tell the tale of those days in Budapest when dead horses were skinned and sliced for meat, if not a father of five sharpening his knife? Who is to tell the tale of the child without arms whose mother used to cook borscht in Chernobyl, if not an old preacher composing frugal psalms? Who is to tell the tale of an old man on a bus blown to bits by a bomb strapped to a pale boy, if not a waitress dreaming of green pastures? Who is to tell the tale of our bliss-seeking lives spent in a breathless rush to reach distant stars, if not a lost fisherman buffeted by gales?
This is Dana Wensley for Top Writers, and I'm talking to local writer and poet Pani Palasti about her book Budapest Girl. One theme in the book is that life's trajectory, or our memory of it, is not in a straight line. Your book reflects this in its structure. Chapters give the reader an insight, then we're dragged out of that moment into another. Often happy moments are followed by moments of great pain and sadness. There's a chapter, The Sweet Smell of Wool Slippers, which I love the title of. Then the next chapter is The Tunnel of Terror. Is this zigzagging an intentional part of your book?
It simply reflects the way memories appear. Somebody, I forget who, said that memories are like icebergs. They carve off the great flow of life and start a voyage on the sea, pushed by winds, submerging, melting. That's the way memories are. And they suddenly appear, you know. An iceberg sometimes goes very far and suddenly appears. They cannot be herded. They should not be put in chronological order, because sometimes I am having a shower and in the bathroom I suddenly remember how it felt when Grandma bathed me, and what did she say then, and what did the soap look like, and I have to write that down. It's a very important memory for me, and the book is full of little, wonderful, very, very descriptive and real, more real than the present shower where I am standing.
You want to read out a section of your book now called Pretty Postcards. Could you do that for us?
I just wanted to read this chapter that somehow gives a little taste. Put yourself into Hungary in 1942. I am 9 years old, and imagine that there is a war going on, and I am a little girl still not in the war, the siege, where dead bodies were all around me. The siege hasn't started in Budapest. It is winter and the war is edging closer. Strings are strung across a nearby tobacconist window. Clipped on the strings are postcards. Most of them have a line or two printed under a picture. The captions are short. Missing you, sweetheart. Thinking of you, darling. A message from motherland. Onward to victory. Until I hold you in my arms. See you again, second lieutenant, sir. I stand on the chill street, kicking my heels on the icy sidewalk. I often linger over these images above the declarations of love and patriotic fervor, hand-painted cards. One of the postcards shows an officer standing in front of a burnt-out enemy tank that smolders in a snowy landscape in the infinite winter steppe of the Russian hinterland. And there is a soldier standing guard at night under an old-fashioned lamppost. He is half obscured by shadows as he looks down on the illuminated, upturned face of his girl. Her lips are slightly parted, ready to kiss him goodbye. She is beautiful, a slender goddess standing on tiptoes to reach his mouth. That is the one I like best. I am that girl, on tiptoes under the lamppost, I am Lily Marlene.
That was Penny Pallasty reading a chapter from her book Budapest Girl. Tell me about the second poem that's set to music that you've chosen to play today.
Candlelight, that is a poem that Ross Harris used for his symphony number 5, and the soprano sang it. And to me, that poem describes me in the war when I am huddling in a bomb shelter. My father is hiding from the Gestapo upstairs, and I'm worried that he will be bombed and he can't come to the shelter because there are Nazis in the shelter. I want light. The electricity is cut by detonations, and my friend and I, we are making candles from candle drippings so that we could always have one candle in the darkness of the bomb shelter. And that is what candlelight is about. The Second World War started when I was 6 years old. You can figure it out now. It entered our street when I was 10. This poem is about life in a bomb shelter, and it was to become one of the songs of Ross Harris's 5th symphony, Candlelight. We sit in the dark. Only the center of the shelter is lit by a single candle. Flickering flame, our only source of light. Night after night after night. Contorted candle, made of wax melt. Drips of old candles, scraped up, remelted, molded, used shoelaces, pressed in as wicks. I roll them around on my knees into cylinder shape. All new candles I fabricate to light up the dark in the unending night. I gather and mold and roll, not a drop wasted, while the bumps make the flame gutter. I keep on melting and molding and rolling to gain a flame, something to stare at when the world is dark. My sooty wax candle, my soiled offering to the god of air raids, stands tall. When the earth moves, when detonations make us lurch in unison, rapidly melting. Collapsing candle, flickering dancer, I will keep you alive.
I was talking to Penny Pallasty about her book Budapest Girl. You can buy her book and CDs from Page and Blackmore Booksellers Nelson. Find out more about Top Writers on www.topwriters.co.nz.
Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this program available through funding the Access Internet Radio Project. Cheers, New Zealand On Air.